My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
But I've actually been a huge fan of sports ever since I first watched Taylor Swift watch a football game. It really changed my life, because now I know who Patrick Mahomes is. I mean, before I only knew him as that guy in the State Farm ads, and based on his acting, I just assumed he was the CEO's son.
That's great.
That's funny.
Nikki Glaser, ESPYs last night.
She makes everything better.
She does. She's funny as hell, and she killed it again last night. As we said earlier, if you missed it, Serena Williams, whether you watch it or not, getting rave reviews for her performance last night of hosting the ESPYs. And, Mike, you know who else was a big winner last night? Caitlin Clark. Surprise, surprise.
Shocking. No, yeah. Man, look, and it's funny, real quick, before we get to the dog report, talk some college football. We learned that Paul Skeens is going to start for the National League in the All-Star game. Of course he should. Nobody's come on the scene as a young rookie since Mark Fidrich. We talked about that with Grant yesterday and back in 76. So you're going to get a guy who's throwing 99 to 102, who's striking guys out, could have had a no-hitter if they kept him in the game.
Facts.
There's a buzz. And you and I, you brought up a great point. It's not their fault. But a guy like, you know, Shohei Ohtani, you brought up, who was it?
Ichiro.
Ichiro back in the day. Just, and a lot of guys on the West Coast, it doesn't resonate this side of the Mississippi. They just don't seem to be able to market their stars in baseball the way you know the top 50 guys in the NFL. You know the top 30 guys in the NBA.
Yeah.
You know? NHL kind of suffers from it too. But in the case of MLB, this guy's the buzz. The same thing, a reason I mentioned it is Caitlin Clark. Even though somebody might get slighted, the 12th best women's basketball player in the country, trying to grow that sport, putting those eyeballs, Carl, on Caitlin Clark in the Paris Olympics, it's a no-brainer. It's the same reason this guy's starting for Major League Baseball's All-Star game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And when we talk about Caitlin, you know, she's moved the needle. I just feel like a lot of people feel like, you know, she got more than what she deserved before her time and all of this stuff. She's making this happen. It's not like she's been given anything. She was the first pick, and everybody said, okay, is she any good? She's been great. And I think you're seeing that, but I only bring that up to say last night she was honored. Angel Reese was honored for, again, you're going back to the college days.
Right.
And so it was pretty cool to see all of that. Steve Kuhn is going to join us while we're talking hoops. And we'll talk to him about the Hawks, guys, because we are getting ready for Summer League. It starts tonight, by the way, for our Hawks. And the moves or lack thereof. I know a lot of you are frustrated with the fact that you feel like we didn't do enough or we haven't done enough to maybe get us ready for the season in October. I mean, we'll ask Steve where this team is at. And, again, we've heard from Landry Fields. He said it was tough to trade DJ, but they felt like this was something they needed to do. And
well,
they've got a roster crunch, Mike.
I mean, you and I went through this yesterday. And, look, I understand he's in a tough spot because he's got to try to spin it. They had to move DJ because they couldn't afford DJ.
They had to do it, Mike.
The contract, they gave him the contract extension kicked in, so they had to move him off the books.
Mike, somebody had to go.
Yes,
him.
We all knew that. But, again, you didn't bring any score. You haven't replaced him with scoring. I mean, you haven't there's 21 points you need to, like, replace. You
don't have his hands were tied.
Yes. Well, yes, technically his hands were tied. He's in a real, real tough spot to say, what am I going to say? My owner will not get into apron one or apron two of the luxury tax. I know you would guys, like, you'd love to see me bring Brandon Ingram in, you know, somebody who can also score and play defense.
That's true. Yeah.
But we just got you a guy that can play defense, and the scoring will come.
We got you one part of that. We got you one part.
So that's where it's at.
We will talk with Steve. Yeah, thank you, Landry. We will talk with Steve coming up. Hey, you guys can find us, man. Let us know what you think. By the way, where are we today? Well, we are up here at Fins Up Water Park. For those of you who have not been here, and I got a great tweet from one of our listeners who said, yeah, my daughter and I were up there last week, and he said, man, it's changed a lot. And it just has, guys. They have over 18 attractions now at this water park. Again, Fins Up, formerly Margaritaville at Lanier Islands Water Park. And they've got new water slides. The complex is great. They've got food, drinks, adult beverages. I mean, and we're seeing a bunch of families up here as well. It's not just the kids up here, obviously. But so if you want to come up here, man, check it out. If not today, get a chance to do it before the summer's up. And certainly the kids get back to school. It is well worth the drive and certainly the trip up here. All right, we got to talk some college football. Let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
All right, I want to jump the gun here a little bit, Mike.
Okay.
And talk about September 28th. And September 28th is when Alabama takes on Georgia.
At Bryant Denny.
Yes, that will be week four for Alabama. They will have already played Western Kentucky to start the season. They will have played South Florida. They will have went to Wisconsin and played Wisconsin at Wisconsin.
You could hope that, you know, the Big Ten brand of football will be very physical, Carl, because they pride themselves on physicality at Camp Randall. But, yeah, you hope that maybe some Badgers bang them up a little bit. But you could see Alabama struggling early in that game, and then the depth and the talent rise out.
Yes, because – and the only thing about that game, it's a noon start. Right. So Alabama's on the road, Wisconsin.
I've never been.
It's beautiful.
They say that Camp Randall is one of the most amazing atmospheres. The fans get tuned up. But noon start, you think that mitigates some of the tune-upness.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't have all day to booze up.
It's beautiful. I'll tell you a quick story. So Owen Daniels, who won a Super Bowl with the Broncos I used to do a show with him, and he went to Wisconsin, and he was like a god there. I mean, it was ridiculous. And he was like, hey, you know, let's go. We want to go to a game. So years ago, I went with him, Mike, and it's one of the best college atmospheres if you go at the right time. Now, it gets cold as hell up there.
Right.
But early September, October, it's beautiful. You get into, November, December, it's a different animal. But I got to tell you this. Like, people who have never been there, they just don't get it. Like, they don't understand. It's one of those, to me, it's a hidden gem. Like, with right. facilities and the layout.
They say the crowd energy is insane.
It is. It's nuts. And so, you know, OD was walking around and, you know, he was a big man on campus there and it was really cool. And then the irony for me was full circle when Trin, she got accepted there and she was thinking about going to Wisconsin. He was like, yeah, I'll take her up there. I was like, nah, never mind. Because I partied with him. And I was like, forget about that. We're not doing that. But Wisconsin is a great place, man, as far as the football atmosphere. Here's my point about Georgia, Alabama. What's that game? September 28th, and as we talk about Georgia and the makeup of this team, by 4 weeks in, Mike, we're going to have a sense of what Alabama is under Kalen DeBoer, and we're also going to know what Georgia is. I think both teams at that point, this isn't the first week of the season, it isn't week zero, and it's certainly not the last game of the season. The end of September, you're kind of getting a feel for your team, and you know what this is going to look like.
Right.
Is that going to be a dogfight?
The Clemson game will be physical, although we kind of look at Clemson as saying, man, you just don't have the horses to compete with Georgia. But, yeah, I think that you go in there and you say, look, stop Jalen Milroe. That's it. Our offense will have success. Alabama, like, that's it's hard to see that game being that kind of high-scoring game that some of the Georgia-Alabama games are generated into.
Sure.
I kind of see that game in the 20s or 30s. 30s are still a high score by SEC standards. Do you see that as a high-scoring game?
Well, that's the thing. I just look at that game because for Alabama, I'm not saying they're dismissing Western Kentucky or South Florida, although right. they probably will. Going on the road against Wisconsin, say what you will, Mike said it. Big Ten team, tough atmosphere, early in the season, that's a test. But the Georgia game at home is going to set the bar. And if Georgia beats Alabama at home, right, then you have to believe, like, obviously from that point on, even if you don't think it now, Georgia's going to be the favorite to win the SEC, Mike. If they go to Alabama and this year.
Right.
It's sort of like when Texas went in there and beat them, and everybody said, oh, Texas, they're not for real. And then you realize, hey, they got a really good football team. I think people already know Georgia's going
to
be good.
Bama outscored Georgia 17-7 in the first half in the SEC championship.
Sure.
Couldn't get Milroe on the ground. I know Georgia fans are still bellyaching about the catch, no catch for Bama. And then Georgia, 14 points in the fourth quarter, but too little too late because the defense just had no answer for Jalen Milroe. I just got to figure, regardless of what Milroe said after the game, Georgia's going to have a better mousetrap built for this game. But then again, the contrary part to that argument is, or the contrarian argument is, well, this is Kalen DeBoer's Alabama. There's going to be a lot of changes on this team, which I'd be curious to see how, you know, Kirby, you know, in the chess match plays out. What does a Jalen Milroe, and you and I have talked about this probably a dozen times now, what does Jalen Milroe look like in DeBoer's offense? So that's going to be interesting. Big Bo Johnson just rolled in. My team is on the floor. My team is on the beach, Carl.
I see that.
Our cornhole game coming up in a bit here.
He came up to support, man. He's trying to get a dub today.
My team's got better team spirit than yours.
Well, listen, you guys are amped up. I see you guys desperately needing a win.
You know what this is? My team is the Raiders in December against the Chiefs. It's full of sound and fury, signifying nothing.
Yes, that's a good point.
There's an edge. But no, it was 27-24. Point I'm getting to, do you think this is about the same kind of game in Tuscaloosa? I could kind of see it going there.
I do. I do not see it. Listen, I could be wrong. I don't see a high-scoring game. When you say high-scoring, I'm always thinking 38-42.
Right. Last team with the ball wins.
Yeah, I don't see that. I do think this is a game that's in the 20s.
Georgia was a 5.5-point favorite in the SEC championship last year.
Yeah, but if you're telling me Georgia's going to win 28-24, Georgia's going to win, you know, I don't know, 30-24, something of that nature, I would buy into that. Here's the kicker for Alabama, though, and this is why that game is going to be so important. When you talk about the SEC, remember there is no East and West now. It's a round robin. Everybody plays, and at the end of the season, the two best teams will play in the SEC championship game. Mike, the toughest stretch for Alabama is not this Georgia game. That game sets itself apart.
Right.
But then you ask Alabama to go to Tennessee, sleep on Missouri if you want to, play Missouri October 26th.
Big skill position, certainly good pass rush.
Good quarterback, man.
Right?
They got a good squad. And then you got to go to LSU. And you say, okay, they get past
that
test.
It's LSU.
It's LSU. Mike, you have to play at Oklahoma this year before you go play the Iron Bowl.
Right.
And we've that is tough.
That's I'm saying. Everybody. This is the beauty. The one thing I know we can debate the merits of why we have this conference realignment. But when you put those SEC schedules, other than Oregon and Ohio State and a couple of games, nobody in the Big Ten is playing anything like what you just mentioned. No one is playing what Georgia. The idea that Texas is going to play Oklahoma in the Cotton Bowl and the Red River rivalry and then turn around and play Georgia at home, nobody's got anything like that. With all due respect to the Big Ten, you got nothing on your schedule like that.
No, and I'm just saying, if they survive, and we're talking about Alabama, for all the Alabama fans out there, if they survive the test, and let's just say they beat Georgia and they get through that stretch of games, the last two games, November 23rd, you're at Oklahoma, and then you come back and play the Iron Bowl, which we know could be anybody's ball game.
What if an Ole Miss sneaks into the SEC championship game? Alabama's still going to the college football playoff. That's the beauty of the expanded. And that's why the way we approach the Braves and the Phillies, I think some Georgia fans, although we won't know to your point, we get to that week, 3 and 4, Georgia doesn't have to win the SEC to be in the national champion.
No, but Kirby's saying, I want the bye. I want to be one of
all
the top four teams.
All coaches want the bye.
Yeah, they
want to
be one of the top four teams. All right, we're coming back. We got plenty more to dive into. We'll talk some Braves, man, because Brian Snicker saying a few things about Max Fried. Braves lose. They lose the series. The series was tied at 2 apiece, but they had a chance to finish the series. They didn't get a chance to do it. Tonight they start a new series. We'll talk about that with Grant coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. We're live at Lake Lanier, Fins Up Water Park.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Aim.
Fins Up Water Park, official sponsor of the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This is where we're broadcasting from, and the competition has started. Mike, can you describe to our listeners what we are looking at?
Yes, we're looking at Day-Day throwing stuff over the cornhole. I got to be honest, you really did nail the secret sauce when you went with Dylan. Dylon has been Team Duke's secret weapon.
He has.
The guy excelled at axe throwing. He's got a natural touch for cornhole. Day-Day is just now developing the arc.
But what I got to be honest. He's completely missing the board.
Thank you, Steve Holman. Day-Day is showing no aptitude for cornhole, also known as the white horseshoes. So we're working on this. We're hoping that this will develop.
Aptitude?
Day-Day has no aptitude for cornhole, apparently. Dylan, meanwhile, is good. Joe Patrick, you know, he's plyo. Oh, no, he just went off the side of the board. Garrett just put one short. Yeah, I got to be honest. Oh, yeah. Is there extra wax on these tables? Nothing is sticking.
Nothing is sticking.
I'm not sure about this.
You got to have the touch. But the guys are playing. Yeah. We have an official referee down there overseeing the festivities. Here's the deal, by the way.
Ash, who runs. By the way, if you're looking to advertise with that the game, ask for Ash.
Yes. We are doing a best 2 of 3. So here's what Dylan proposed today, because Team Dukes is up over Team Bell. And he said, look, if you guys win the first 2 matches of cornhole, the last match will be winner take all, because technically all of the games will be tied.
Right. Right now it's a 3-1. You already clinched it. It was 3 out of 5 to start.
But he says if we win one of the first 2 matches, then this is a wrap. So Team Bell accepted the challenge, and that's kind of where we are right now. So we'll keep you updated. Here's the deal on the Braves, guys. Last night, tough L, Mike. We didn't score. And, you know, we say this, like, the last 4 or 5 games we've been averaging over 5 runs, and you go, all right, hey, we're taking the turn. Well, last night, you got to give credit to the D-backs. We had 5 hits. They only had 6 and only scored 1 run. Hell, Mike, we didn't score any runs last night.
Yeah, it wasn't like we left a bunch of guys on base. We just couldn't seem to have any clutch. You and I have said this, honestly, I really do think we've said this a million times this year. Just when we think we're out, they pull us back in to not being able to hit. And it's been so frustrating. Last night, it wasn't like you had the ace. The ace, you actually beat their ace in Gallon the other night.
Yep.
Last night was a guy whose ERA is around 3, but still, you made him look like he was, Randy Johnson was out there for the old D-backs. Frustrating. Some big moments where you just couldn't answer the bell. We already talked about it. The top of the lineup went 0-for-7 again. That's happened a lot in this series in the 2 games we lost. Unfortunately, Carl, you just look, meanwhile, we're monkeying around with the D-backs. The Phillies handle the Dodgers coming into Philly and sweep them.
Sweep them. Sweep them.
I mean, they're on pace to win 108 games now.
Yeah.
It's insane how hot they're. Now, that's not an indicator of what's going to happen in the postseason, because if the Braves won every World Series the time they'd won 100 games, they'd have 4 more right now.
No doubt. You're right. It gives you the only advantage, I say only. 1, you know you're a good club. But 2, it gives you some home field. Mm. And maybe you're hosting the NLCS and not being on the road. Here's the thing. Freed kept us in the game last night. 6 innings, 5 hits. Brian Snicker talked about it, but we just couldn't score.
No, he did. No, he righted himself and kept us right there in the ballgame. He just couldn't solve the other guy.
Suarez, for all the things we joked around about this guy, who is this Suarez guy? Well, Well, he's feasting on this guy. I want to say it was a changeup up in the zone.
Yeah.
As soon as he hit it, Max knew it was a tape measure shot. He turned, dropped his head. But that Suarez guy was a one-man gang in the games that Diamondbacks won in the two of the four.
Snicker also talked about, you know, AJ, he's been better off against left-handers. And listen, he's talking about AJ Minter. Right. Minter came in last night in – you know, again, the bullpen, you're going to have days. We gave up a game in this series, but for the most part, I just think that the hitting, the lack thereof last night.
Minter did a nice job the other night when Iglesias had done the two-inning save. Remember that with the two-inning relief effort?
Iglesias, yeah.
Yeah, so I feel your bullpen, yes. The other night, we could point some fingers and Jimenez blew it, but as Grant will tell us at 540, Jimenez, for the most part, has done a really good job as the rest of the middle relievers and setup guys.
Here's Snit talking about A.J. Minter.
No, I mean, AJ's been tough for a long time now. He's been one of the better left-handed relievers and back-end leverage guys for quite a while now.
Yeah, and listen, I think Fried was all-star worthy, but when you start looking at the credentials of other pitchers and who's deserving, right. And again, like this
kid's first 2 weekends kept him off the all-star team.
Yes, exactly right. And this kid Skeens, you know, again, he's going to start as he should, but these are the things you want to see in an all-star game. I want to be dazzled. Fried is worthy, though, and Snit was asked about Fried last night.
Yeah, I'm really a strong, you know, probably all-star worthy half. And it's just good to see how he never stops. I mean, he never quits. He just keeps working. He's never, like I say, he's never satisfied. He's just always going to be looking for an edge. And you know, he's going to check all the boxes in between starts every time, too.
I've mentioned this to you a couple times before about the old days when Tom Glavin took the money. Don't blame him because
Mets
better deal with the Mets.
Yeah.
Tom was sitting on like 299 wins. It seemed like the entire summer where the Mets just could not give him run support. I mean, I'm sure it was better than that, but it just seems like Max Fried, yeah, he doesn't really get the benefit of it. Now, granted, the Phillies, the game earlier this last week, last homestand, not great either. So I think he's going to get paid. He's not going to get paid by the Braves. I still think you look at Max's resume, a lot of teams will look at him and say he's one of the top 15 pitchers in the big league. He's going to get paid.
I would agree with that. Speaking of pitchers, just quickly, as we talk about this in the Braves, coming up, Steve Kuhn and Hawk CEO set to join us here in about less than 7 minutes. Big O back at the studio. Can I just hear Paul Skeens? This is the play-by-play call. Mm. When he finishes the seventh inning, he had a no-hitter going. And he gets pulled. This was yesterday. Now, they beat the Milwaukee Brewers 1-0, and then today we find out Skeens of the Pirates is going to start for the National League at Tuesday's All-Star game in Arlington. Right. Here's what it sounded like.
Here's a 1-0 to Frelick. Swinging a bouncer on to third. Hayes gloves. Throw to first. Got him. 7 no-hit innings for Paul Skeens in Milwaukee. On this Thursday afternoon, the all-star rookie of the Pirates getting applause from the Brewers fans. That's how well he has pitched today.
Isn't that crazy?
He's their Spencer Strider.
Yes,
and
he is.
It's a great story. You guys, we talk about Pittsburgh a lot because we've both been there. We love that stadium.
It's beautiful.
Those fans deserve better because as soon as they get some really good guys, they scram because they just can't seem to afford them. But, yeah, man, that's the guy I want to see. That's the guy who's making headlines. That's the guy you're seeing on SportsCenter every 5 days.
Mike, to our point, if you're a casual fan Tuesday and you have no interest in the All-Star game and we are telling you right now you want to see this kid for at least three hitters, okay,
right.
It's worth it. He may not only strike out the side, it's how he's going to do it. Guys, the kid is 6'6". He's 6-0 with a 1.90 ERA. His ERA is under 2, and he's been as dominant as anybody in the league.
Doc Gooden was 20 years old in the All-Star game in 84 when he came in as a rookie. Carl struck out the side.
Good call.
But, I mean, now in hindsight, yeah, I'd like to see Doc Gooden start that All-Star game. But, look, we've talked about merit, and I get it. And I understand the passion for Jesse Chavez, but that's not going to happen. You have starting pitchers who work as middle relievers in an All-Star game, with all due respect.
Yeah.
By the way, ERA, you think there's any correlation? The number one and number two, as far as guys who qualify for the stats, the best ERAs in the National League, Ranger Suarez, Zach Wheeler. As far as the multiple innings pitched, 1 and 2. Sale is 3. Max Fried comes in 7.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's, I mean, the Phillies are a machine on both ends. That's one thing which doesn't mean they're going to win at all. We can still get into the wild card, but man, getting back to the All-Star game, yeah, I think it creates a buzz and an energy. And I think we said this earlier, Major League Baseball doesn't really do a great job of embracing or really promoting their young stars.
No, this kid, let's hope he stays healthy. That's
not good. Yes. You don't want to see.
That's the thing. You see something like this, and you're like, let this kid be.
Is he going to be Kerry Wood, or is he going to be Nolan Ryan?
Well, that's the thing, right? Because he throws hard. And
but all these kids throw hard since the time they're 12. You wonder what the longevity is going to be.
Yeah, but I'm excited. I'm more excited now about Tuesday and starting this game than I was 2 days ago. And as a baseball fan, you know, that's just what it is.
I'm stoked, man. I mean, look, the All-Star game, we've talked about the Pro Bowl. It's an afterthought. The NBA All-Star game, they've tried 7 different ways to tweak it and maximize it. You still got to hit a 99-mile-an-hour pitch in the All-Star game. That's why it stays competitive.
It does. Hey, guys, we're at Fins Up Water Park, Lake Lanier. It's Georgia's first and largest water slide coaster, Apocalypse. They've got that here. They've got 18 attractions, by the way, that are going on up here. So there's a lot of stuff to do. Hey, we're coming back. Thoughts on our Hawks, where we're at, where we're going, Summer League, and more with the Hawks CEO, Steve Koonin, next.
Now, your game traffic, 92.9.
Live at Fins Up Water Park, formerly Margaritaville at Lanier Island, day 3 of our summer games. And our guys are competing right now. Mike and I have a bird's eye view of the cornhole competition that's going on. We'll keep you updated. But we got to talk to Steve Koonin. Steve, hope you're doing well. Missed you last week. I know a lot of people were like, hey, where's Steve? We want to hear from him. And I said, well, we get a chance to do that this week. How are you, first and foremost?
I'm great. A little 4th of July vacation, so I do apologize. But everybody needs a little time off now and again.
No doubt.
Yes.
And we totally get it. All right, so last time we spoke was before the trade of DJ, and that goes down, and Mike and I have spent a lot of time, obviously, Steve, on that deal. We heard Landry Fields. We played his sound bites on the radio station saying, hey, it was tough, but, you know, we find ourselves having to make some decisions. I just want to know, first and foremost, about how you feel about where we are in that particular move.
Well, I'm pleased with what we got for DJ. He certainly was a valuable asset. It was obvious that we were not hitting our maximum potential, and we were able to turn him into, you know, players that we think are going to make a meaningful contribution to the team and draft capital, which we do need. So, you know, all in all, time on all of these things will be the arbiter of success. But, I think the guys did a really, really, really good job.
Steve, we understand. And by the way, as they said in Good Will Hunting, it's not your fault. I mean, we understand that there's salary cap issues and some of these things are beyond your control and beyond Landry's control, if we're honest. I mean, you know, it is what it is. He's been dealt a hand.
Nothing to do with that. This wasn't salary cap. This was, you had 2 ball-dominant guards who, you know, unfortunately did not find the cohesion to necessarily play together. You know, we took a big swing, and I think we were able to figure out that, we need to move in a different direction, and we did. So this wasn't a financial move by any means, because the money's equal.
But you're still not getting into any of those aprons. I know it's confusing for the listener, the casual fan, how they've kind of changed some of the rules about the salary cap and the luxury tax. It just seems like, when can we expect this team to add some real stars to play with Trae Young?
When they're available. You know,
there was movement in free agency. I mean, there was movement in free agency.
Who would you have liked to have seen?
Well, I mean, in a trade, I would love to have Brandon Ingram come here to give us some scoring. I mean, I think Paul George would have been a guy I'd love to see alongside of Trae Young. I mean, I know you can shoot for the stars, and I know there was a finite list of teams perhaps he was interested in, but...
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what you're saying, but unfortunately, we weren't able to get those, you know, particular gentlemen. I've got to be careful here, that to join the cause, if you will. But again, time will tell, but I think we made a really, really good move, and draft capital is super important.
What are you hearing? Because I don't know how much you've actually seen of him. We're going to get a chance to see him as Summer League gets underway with Richache. And what are you hearing from Coach Quinn or anybody from the staff about their impressions of the young man so far?
I mean, you know, we talked about this a month ago. Obviously, everybody's super pleased with him. They feel, you know, that he's going to be special. I would not judge an NBA career based on tonight. Trust me, you have my word. If he goes for 30, I'm not calling in Monday going, I told you so. You know, I'll probably do it Sunday, but I won't do it. No. You know, but I'm obviously super excited to see it. And everybody, you know, just really, really thinks that he is a superior talent. And at 19, that's what you're, you know, what you're betting on. You're gambling the first pick in the draft that he's going to be developed and he's going to be able to do something really, really special. And part of it is, you know, remember, Quinn has never been able to set his offense. He hasn't, you know, had this kind of athleticism that with a 6'8 Dyson Daniels, with Richache, with Trey, and with Jalen, and the other guys. And I think you'll see us play a different style. And I think he enables us to do different things. But again, super bummed for Kobe Bufkin. He has been working so hard and unfortunately, you know, hurt his shoulder and will miss, you know, Summer League where he was going to be our lead. So I do think that, you know, that's a very unfortunate thing.
It's our man, Steve Kuhnin, Puffy K, the kids call him, CEO of the Hawks, with us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. We're live at Lake Lanier, hanging out here at Margaritaville and Fins Up. Yeah, Steve, I know a lot of folks excited to see Jalen Johnson play a full season. And I think a lot of, I guess, I would imagine, you know, Quinn and Landry to a degree are banking on Jalen Johnson moving the trajectory further on up and being the next Ant-Man or next superstar in this league.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly is the hope, and the potential's there, and we saw it last year. We've got to, you know, hopefully be able to keep him healthy. He had a recurring injury, same injury really three times. But there is so much talent there, so much talent there. And he is, I think he's something that Atlanta's going to continue to fall in love with. I really, really do.
Steve, this is what I'm getting from our listeners and Hawks fans, and I want to relay it to you, and I'd like to get an answer in regards to the direction of the team. It's not about one specific move, whether it's the trade or the draft or anything, but I continue to get, Dukes, what direction are we headed in? Where are we going? And the plan, can we see it coming to fruition yet? Is it working or going in the direction that you feel like it needs to? And I don't have an answer for them, Steve. So I said, well, I'll ask Steve Kuhnin next time he's on, because I think what they're trying to do, and I try to explain it, but I don't know either. I'm just being honest with you. I get it. We have Trey, and he's a star. And then what else do we have as far as when you look at the Eastern Conference and you start talking about our team, what would you tell those fans and listeners?
Well, I think, you know, certainly we have Trey at the point. I think Jalen Johnson is developing, and I think, as we just concluded talking about, he has the potential to be something really special. We are very excited about the first pick in the draft. We're very excited about improving our defense, and we believe that the direction we're going is to be a team that has length, a team that has interchangeable skills, a team that has great shooting from the outside and tough defense, you know, both inside the paint and strong rebounding and speed. And it is an evolution. It's not, you know, done in one draft, and it's not done overnight, but the pieces are starting to be accumulated, and I'm extremely bullish on it. You know, if you look at Quinn Snyder's teams in Utah, they were very high on defense. He had a Donovan Mitchell at the point, and he had a Rudy Gobert, you know, who was able to clog the lane on defense. And that's an area that, you know, we're going to have to continue to develop. But Larry Nance Jr. is a very good player and very athletic. And like I said, 6'8 point guard. I think Dyson Daniels has the chance to be all defense, all NBA defensive player. And that's not something we've had.
No, I mean, look, we cannot deny that we're a better defensive team. The question only comes up is if Vit Krejci continues to do his thing, Garrison Matthews, some of the other pieces, Bogey's still here, which is cool. But as long as we're scoring, problem now is we still have a kind of a log jam at center, so some of these guys do have to go.
Well, I think there's some versatility with both Okongwu and Nance who can play the four as well. So, you know, we'll see. I don't think that I don't think we're really able to say today who's going to play what, you know, right. But the team, the roster's certainly taking shape. And look, I understand what the fans are talking about. It's much easier to understand a fully developed team like a Boston than it is a team, you know, that's moving. If you look at Philadelphia this year, they only had three players under contract, one of them being Joel Embiid. And then they work around to fill that. You look at Phoenix, they have three superstars under contract, but haven't been able to reach their potential. So, you know, there is some, there's work to be done on all teams, including ours.
Want to
but
ask
I like
about
the direction we're going.
Okay. I want to ask you about the NBA rights. Are we within that five-day period where Turner or Warner Brothers can potentially match and do something and maybe get into the mix here? Is it true that next week the NBA will finalize this deal in Las Vegas? Can you confirm any of that?
I've read the same articles that you've read.
Okay.
And I think it's coming very soon, and I think the articles are very accurate. And it's going to be, you know, an interesting week or two around here. But at the end of the day, the NBA is an incredibly valuable media property on a global basis. And it's, you know, if you're sitting in our perspective, it's kind of great to have multiple giant media corporations with global footprints bidding for your product.
Do you think that Charles Barkley's comments, we talked about it earlier, I know we understand younger demographics and streaming, but do you think the streaming thing's getting out of hand as far as people just bending over backwards because the money's just, you can't say no? And the idea being you're taking, whether it's cable or the old days, the old rabbit ears, but you're taking your product away from the traditional way of viewing it, or the viewing habits are so moved on that that argument doesn't hold water.
That argument holds no water. You know, when I joined Turner, we had 52 million cable subscribers. When I left Turner in 2014, there was 103 million. You know what the number is today? 51 million.
See, less than what it was when you were there.
Less than what it was when I joined in 2000. Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it's not like it's not available. People vote, you know. In fact, this is actually kind of the first. Yeah, it's the first time that the consumer democracy. You know, cable is, I have it. I think it's a great value. I love having the choice. I love having, you know, the product. But what drove me to DirecTV in 1994 was NFL Sunday Ticket. You know, I wanted to watch all the games and be able to see that. And sports have always led any form of technology. You remember when, I apologize, young listeners. You remember when TiVo came out and they was like, you can pause live sports. Like,
oh, yeah. It was a big deal.
Right. I needed to do that.
It was a big deal, yeah.
It was a big deal. And so Wayne Gretzky said,
live at Fins Up Water Park, formerly Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, day three of our summer games. And our guys are competing right now. Mike and I have a bird's eye view of the cornhole competition that's going on. We'll keep you updated, but we got to talk to Steve Coonan. Steve, hope you're doing well. Missed you last week. I know a lot of people were like, hey, where's Steve? We want to hear from him. And I said, well, we get a chance to do that this week. How are you, first and foremost?
I'm great. A little 4th of July vacation, so I do apologize, but everybody needs a little time off now and again.
No doubt.
Yes.
And we totally get it. All right, so last time we spoke was before the trade of DJ, and that goes down, and Mike and I have spent a lot of time, obviously, Steve, on that deal. We heard Landry Fields. We played his sound bites on the radio station saying, hey, it was tough, but, you know, we find ourselves having to make some decisions. I just want to know, first and foremost, about how you feel about where we are and that particular move.
Well, I'm pleased with what we got for DJ. He certainly was a valuable asset. It was obvious that we were not hitting our maximum potential, and we were able to turn him into, you know, players that we think are going to make a meaningful contribution to the team and draft capital, which we do need. So, you know, all in all, time on all of these things will be the arbiter of success. But, I think the guys did a really, really, really good job.
Steve, we understand. And by the way, as they said in Good Will Hunting, it's not your fault. I mean, we understand that there's salary cap issues and some of these things are beyond your control and beyond Landry's control, if we're honest. I mean, you know, it is what it is. He's been dealt a hand.
This had nothing to do with this one, salary cap. This was, you had two ball-dominant guards who, you know, unfortunately did not find the cohesion to necessarily play together. You know, we took a big swing, and I think we were able to figure out that, we need to move in a different direction, and we did. So this wasn't a financial move by any means, because the money's equal.
But you're still not getting into any of those aprons. I know it's confusing for the listener, the casual fan, how they've kind of changed some of the rules about the salary cap and the luxury tax. It just seems like, when can we expect this team to add some real stars to play with Trae Young?
When they're available.
You know, there was movement in free agency. I mean, there was movement in free agency.
Who would you have liked to have seen?
Well, I mean, first off, in a trade, I would love to have Brandon Ingram come here to give us some scoring. I mean, I think Paul George would have been a guy I'd love to see alongside of Trae Young. I mean, I know you can shoot for the stars, and I know there was a finite list of teams perhaps he was interested in, but...
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what you're saying, but unfortunately, we weren't able to get those, you know, particular gentlemen. I've got to be careful here, that to join the cause, if you will. But again, time will tell, but I think we made a really, really good move, and draft capital is super important.
What are you hearing, because I don't know how much you've actually seen of him. We're going to get a chance to see him as Summer League gets underway with Richache. What are you hearing from Coach Quinn or anybody from the staff about their impressions of the young man so far?
I mean, we talked about this a month ago. Obviously, everybody's super pleased with him. They feel, you know, that he's going to be special. I would not judge an NBA career based on tonight. You know, trust me, you have my word. If he goes for 30, I'm not calling in Monday going, I told you so. You know, I'll probably do it Sunday, but I won't do it. No. I'm obviously super excited to see it. And everybody, you know, just really, really thinks that he is a superior talent. And at 19, that's what you're betting on. You're gambling the first pick in the draft that he's going to be developed and he's going to be able to do something really, really special. And part of it is, you know, remember, Quinn has never been able to set his offense. He hasn't, you know, had this kind of athleticism that with a 6'8 Dyson Daniels, with Risa Shea, with Trey and with Jalen and the other guys. And I think you'll see us play a different style. And I think he enables us to do different things. But again, super bummed for Kobe Bufkin. He has been working so hard and unfortunately, you know, hurt his shoulder and will miss, Summer League where he was going to be our lead. So I do think that, that's a very unfortunate thing.
It's our man, Steve Coonan, Puffy K, the Kids Club, CEO of the Hawks, with us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. We're live at Lake Lanier, hanging out here at Margaritaville and Fins Up. Yeah, Steve, I know a lot of folks excited to see Jalen Johnson play a full season. And I think I would imagine, you know, Quinn and Landry to a degree are banking on Jalen Johnson moving the trajectory further on up and being the next Ant-Man or next superstar in this league.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly is the hope, and the potential's there, and we saw it last year. We've got to, you know, hopefully be able to keep him healthy. He had a recurring injury, same injury really three times. But there is so much talent there, so much talent there. And he is, I think he's something that Atlanta's going to continue to fall in love with. I really, really do.
Steve, this is what I'm getting from our listeners and Hawks fans, and I want to relay it to you, and I'd like to get an answer. in regards to the direction of the team. It's not about one specific move, whether it's the trade or the draft or anything. But I continue to get, Dukes, what direction are we headed in? Where are we going? And the plan, can we see it coming to fruition yet? Is it working or going in the direction that you feel like it needs to? And I don't have an answer for them, Steve. So I said, well, I'll ask Steve Kuhn next time he's on, because I think what they're trying to do, and I try to explain it, but I don't know either. I'm just being honest with you. I get it. We have Trey, and he's a star. And then what else do we have as far as when you look at the Eastern Conference and you start talking about our team? What would you tell those fans and listeners?
Well, I think, you know, certainly we have Trey at the point. I think Jalen Johnson is developing, and I think, as we just concluded talking about, he has the potential to be something really special. We are very excited about the first pick in the draft. We're very excited about improving our defense. And we believe that the direction we're going is to be a team that has length, a team that has interchangeable skills, a team that has great shooting from the outside and tough defense, you know, both inside the paint and strong rebounding and speed. And it is an evolution. It's not, you know, done in one draft, and it's not done overnight, but the pieces are starting to be accumulated, and I'm extremely bullish on it. You know, if you look at Quinn Snyder's teams in Utah, they were very high on defense. He had a Donovan Mitchell at the point, and he had a Rudy Gobert, you know, who was able to clog the lane on defense. And that's an area that, you know, we're going to have to continue to develop. But Larry Nance Jr. is a very good player and very athletic. And like I said, 6'8 point guard, I think Dyson Daniels has a chance to be all defense, all NBA defensive player. And that's not something we've had.
No, I mean, look, we cannot deny that we're a better defensive team. The question only comes up is, If Vit Krejci continues to do his thing, Garrison Matthews, some of the other pieces, Bogey's still here, which is cool. But as long as we're scoring, problem now is we still have a kind of a log jam at center, so some of these guys do have to go.
Well, I think there's some versatility with both Okongwu and Nance, who can play the four as well. So, you know, we'll see. I don't think that I don't think we're really able to say today who's going to play what. You know, right. But the team, the roster certainly taking shape. And look, I understand what the fans are talking about. It's much easier to understand a fully developed team like a Boston than it is a team, you know, that's moving. If you look at Philadelphia this year, they only had three players under contract, one of them being Joel Embiid. And then they work around to fill that. You look at Phoenix, they have three superstars under contract, but haven't been able to reach their potential. So, you know, there's work to be done on all teams, including ours.
Want to ask
but I like
you about
the direction we're going.
Okay. I want to ask you about the NBA rights. Are we within that five-day period where Turner or Warner Brothers can potentially match and do something and maybe get into to the mix here? Is it true that next week the NBA will finalize this deal in Las Vegas? Can you confirm any of that?
I've read the same articles that you've read.
Okay.
And I think it's coming very soon, and I think the articles are very accurate. And it's going to be, you know, an interesting week or two around here. But at the end of the day, the NBA is an incredibly valuable media property on a global basis. And it's, you know, if you're sitting in our perspective, it's kind of great to have multiple giant media corporations with global footprints bidding for your product.
Do you think the Charles Barkley's comments, we talked about it earlier, I know we understand younger demographics and streaming, but do you think the streaming thing's getting out of hand as far as people just bending over backwards because the money's just, you can't say no? And the idea being you're taking, whether it's cable or the old days, the old rabbit ears, but you're taking your product away from the traditional way of viewing it, or the viewing habits are so moved on that that argument doesn't hold water.
That argument holds no water. You know, when I joined Turner, we had 52 million cable subscribers. When I left Turner in 2014, there was 103 million. You know what the number is today? 51 million.
It's less than what it was when you were there.
Less than what it was when I joined in 2000. Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it's not like it's not available. People vote, you know. In fact, this is actually kind of the first. And it's the first time that the consumer democracy, you know, cable is, I have it. I think it's a great value. I love having the choice. I love having, you know, the product. But what drove me to DirecTV in 1994 was NFL Sunday Ticket. You know, I wanted to watch all the games and be able to see that. And sports have always led any form of technology. You remember when, I apologize, young listeners, so you remember when TiVo came out and they was like, you can pause live sports. Like,
oh, yeah. It was a big deal.
Right. I needed to do that.
It was a big deal. Yeah.
It was a big deal. And so Wayne Gretzky said, you don't skate to where the puck is, you skate to where it's going. Streaming in 5 years will be so dominant that if somebody put this episode in a time capsule, Mike, they would think that two 90-year-olds were talking.
Like Statler and Waldorf, the Muppets in the balcony at the Muppet Show.
Exactly.
Okay.
Up in our balcony. No, well, I mean, it's where the...
Go ahead.
The reason that they can pay these, you know, fees is because they are going direct to consumer. There's not a middleman. There's not a cable intermediary. You subscribe to Peacock, you're going to be able to see games multiple nights a week. You're going to have value for your subscription. You're going to have movies. You're going to have WWE. You're going to have NFL. And it's really just a rebundling. I mean, I could do hours with you on this. But it's basically just a rebundling. And one of the other reasons that all of the streamers love sports is because there's natural act breaks. You know, there are timeouts. There's not a lot of timeouts in scripted dramas. And especially if they've already been made without timeouts, it's a little bit clunky. You know, so sports are going to be the centerpiece of all of these things as the whole world's changing, you know. And look at radio. Now look at podcasts. I mean, everything's right. Been disrupted in media. So this is just kind of the last one, but it's the biggest part of our lives.
Steve, before we let you go, Steve Koonin, Hawk CEO, appreciate the stuff on the streaming. And again, I do agree with you. Charles' point was it's a disservice to fans because he feels like, you know, we're not at that point where everybody's doing it. And, you know, you could say that about electric cars and hybrids and all that stuff. Everything, technology continues to change, and we're all moving in that direction. Let me ask you one thing before we go. One of our listeners hit us up on social media and said, Dukes and Bell, Steve Koonin did not say anything about the playoffs. Is the goal of this team to get to the playoffs? What about the playoffs?
Absolutely. I mean, that's inherent. When you're not competing in the playoffs, if you're not playing meaningful games in the spring, you're unfortunately not living up to expectations. And so we need to be playing meaningful games in the spring.
Fair enough. Steve, thank you. Hope you had a great vacation. It's going to be interesting. Summer League starts tonight, guys. Check out our Hawks and our number one pick. And we get a chance to see him for the first time. And over the next week or so, we'll get a chance to watch him. So I'm curious to see what happens. Steve, thank you again.
Absolutely. Take care, gentlemen.
All right. Steve Koonin, Hawks CEO. Mike, a lot of people hitting us up on social media. Not necessarily satisfied.
Yeah, we love Steve. And look, it's harder and harder. It's not like Steve's going to come on and spin, but he's got to do the best he can. But again, guys, he's above everything. It's not making those day-to-day decisions as far as the roster. But obviously, he's involved with the organization. Just tough because, you know, it is what it is. It's just the team is not better than it was 3 weeks ago. Just not. And that team didn't even get anywhere in the playoffs this year.
This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Falcon Report's coming up. Is he going to be his usual self right away? And we answer that.
Did Team Bell win anything today?
Wait to hear the results.
Oh, boy.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.